Hi, and welcome to the Bible Belt Bros, hosted by Luke and Daniel, where we call to the church to stand up and step out in obedience to God. Thank you for tuning in today. We're excited to have you here. I hope this finds you blessed in the Lord, and without further ado, here is this week's episode of the Bible Belt Bros.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
Hooray!
Episode 19. Hi, but first,
as always,
we have
a word from our sponsor. Welcome to ASMR with Daniel, opening a Pringles can. Gonna eat a Pringle now.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah. All right, Pringles.
Well, Pringles are great. I just opened this thing of Pringles. I don't know how well it picked up, but it's great. We love Pringles.
You're holding it up to them like they can see it.
Can they not? Oh, whoa. I forgot. We're not doing a TV commercial. But guess what, guys? Pringles are amazing. We have cheddar and sour cream, but you have plenty of flavors to choose from. Yeah.
Eat your tall stack of Pringles.
Eat Pringles. Whoop, whoop.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Thank you all for listening to our ad once again.
Welcome to the next episode.
We're glad to be back, and we're glad to be doing them. I guess this is our third one in a row now after our unintentional break from life.
Yeah, and you know, wait, this is episode 20, isn't it?
No, 19.
Oh, man. Is it? I thought it was 20. Hold up. No. It's 20.
It might be 20.
Last week was 19.
I might just be off. Y'all hold on a second. Y'all can tell us.
No, it's 19. Dang it.
See, you didn't trust me.
It wasn't you. It was myself that I didn't trust.
Right. Anyways, episode 19.
We're so close.
One away from 20, though. We're getting close.
Really? I didn't know math. So
that's why you're a history major.
Yeah.
But anyways.
I have no future as a history major. Joke's on me. All right. So
it's a great day here.
We have a new topic today.
We do. And Daniel, what is that topic? Don't jump ahead. Don't jump the gun here. Daniel, what are we talking about today?
All right. Today, we're talking about worship. Plain and simple. You know, what worship is. Why is it important? Why? And we're going to talk about why we're talking about it. Because there's a reason why we're talking about this. So, Luke, why are we talking about worship?
Because we need to. That's it. I'm kidding. Because... You know, worship is one of those terms, like a lot of things that, like a lot of different words, that's lost its kind of luster, lost the true meaning of it in the culture of the modern church, in the culture of modern culture in general. You know, for example, like love has lost the true biblical meaning of it.
Yep.
You know, what are some other terms I'm trying to, my mind went blank.
Worship, love,
faith even.
Yeah.
Because we think faith is like, and hope. Hope is a big one. Like, we just, I hope this thing works out well. When biblical hope is like an assurance in something.
Mm-hmm.
And something we can like fully
hope in. When you have hope in something biblically, you don't just hope. Like, you don't think it might happen. You know it will.
Yeah. Hope and faith kind of play together.
Yeah.
But worship is something that's, you know, like I said, it's lost its luster. It's a term that we just throw around and it applies it to some stuff in our minds, but not everything we do for the glory of God.
Uh-huh.
But in reality, everything we do that is glorifying to God is essentially worship. And in general, worship is just, you know, giving your focus and giving your time to something that, you know, you think is worthy of that worship. And it's the act of being thankful for it, I guess, and the act of like putting your time into it. And we nowadays think, oh, worship is just singing songs at church, surrounded by believers. That's not all worship is.
Not the case, yep.
You know, worship is a whole lot more. Worship is praying. Worship is reading your Bible. Worship is serving the Lord. It's as simple as praying before a meal and eating. And you're eating what the Lord has blessed you with. And that's a time to worship the Lord through eating. It's very simple. And it might not make sense because we've been taught that worship is only through song, But that's the time you can worship the Lord and give glory to Him because He blessed you with the opportunity to eat. But, I mean, that's just it. We've lost the true meaning of what worship is. So that's why we're talking about it.
Mm-hmm. And so we want to talk about just what it is and what we think it looks like, what we think it should look like. Sorry. And we're going to pull from Scripture on what we think it should look like because, well, if we form an opinion without Scripture, that'd be kind of stupid of us.
Be kind of contradictory to what we do.
Yeah. We wouldn't be able to call ourselves the Bible Belt Bros. We'd be the self-opinionated Belt Bros. So we'd just be the Belt Bros. So let's talk about it then. First of all, I think of worship, you know, one of the first things that I think of always is Romans 12:1. Says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable God, which is your spiritual worship. And whenever we give ourselves in service to the Lord, that's worship right there. And that is worship. Whenever you look at Acts 13, before God calls Paul and Barnabas to go out on their first missionary journey, it says that they're ministering to the Lord and fasting. I love the way they word it. It's like, you know, we're ministering to the Lord through worship. We are worshiping Him by serving. And that is one way that we can give ourselves in worship. And let me get this straight. And Luke, you can agree with me here. I'm sure you do. You know, singing praise to the Lord is still worship.
Mm-hmm.
It is still.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not saying that it's wrong. We're not that group of people that goes, oh, you can't sing and be happy in church, you old stupid kids. We're not like that.
Daniel just became an old cranky man, by the way, if you couldn't tell.
Excuse me. I'm saying I'm not that. I'm imitating that for the purpose of imagery because
right.
You don't have a – it's only video or not video.
Not video.
Oh, gosh.
We're losing production value here.
Yeah, we are. But – I'm here to say that like, that's not what we're here to do. We're not. And whenever we first, you know, thought of this topic, and we understood that there are people who think that there are people who just blindly go into the process of singing and assuming that's the only way to worship. And some people go through that just because they don't know. They don't know. People aren't taught how to worship. We're not taught how to worship. We're just told to sing along, read the words on the screen, and put a smile on your face. Maybe throw your hand in the air if you feel the Lord moving, and boom, you're worshiping. But the truth of the matter is, going out and glorifying the Lord in any way, shape, or form is worshiping Him. Giving ourselves a living sacrifice, giving ourselves up is worship. That's worship, guys. Ain't that right, Luke?
Amen. Yeah, another passage I want to hit on is Psalm 96. And, you know, Psalms is full of worship, and Psalms are essentially songs of worship. And, of course, there's songs of mourning in there because David was an emotional roller coaster.
He was.
But in Psalm 96, verse 7 through 9, it says, ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of His name, and bring an offering and enter His courts. And then verse 9 specifically, worship the Lord in splendor of His holiness, and let the whole earth tremble before Him. That doesn't say sing songs to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Sing songs to the Lord, glory and strength.
Mm-hmm.
It says ascribe to Him. And then verse 9 specifically, it says worship in the splendor of His holiness. And then listen to this, let the whole earth tremble before Him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same. We're supposed to be scared of God, but rather we ought to have a reverence toward Him, knowing His true power and knowing who He is.
Yep.
And through that, we worship Him because He's worthy of it. And honestly, when you truly come to Christ and you are saved, you understand, you know, how powerful God is and how worthy He is of that worship. And naturally, you're going to be more prone to worship Him through every walk of life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be really high, you know, right when you come to know Christ or you're on this spiritual high and it's like, oh, everything I do, I'm just giving it all to God. But everything, like they do, everything we do should be worshipful to God.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we do that is, not to really get deep into the how we do it, but the way we do that is have a positive, joyful mindset about it all the time, be constantly grateful for the opportunity to do whatever we do, and to constantly glorify the Lord through it. And all through that, like, for example, at camp, we would always say, you don't have to do something, you get to do something. Like, for example, we get to do schoolwork. I hate doing schoolwork. I'm tired of it. But we get to do schoolwork.
Yep.
We get to come to college. We get to go to class. And we're slowly moving back towards in-person class. Amen. But we get to do so many things that we think, oh, I have to do this. Like, for you specifically, you might get to go to work.
Yeah.
You might get the chance to, you know, pay bills or, you know, go through even this. We get the chance to go through tough times.
Uh-huh.
Why? To see the Lord work through it all. I mean, you look at Job. He went through the toughest time almost anyone else, or related to almost anyone else in the entire world. And he got to go through that. God chose him, you know, to go through that. He didn't choose anyone else. He chose Job. And Job got to go through that. Why? So God could be glorified even more. And so he could rely on God even more. I mean, as simple as that is having the right mindset through everything we do. That's how we worship God through everything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, one thing I want to mention that was brought. So at 8 to 10, we did a few weeks. Our pastor talked about worship, what it is. And one thing he mentioned when we were talking about just how we worship, one thing he said, first of all, is that our tradition has taken priority over the Word of God in our worship of God. I mean, you know, we have a tradition of what we do. Churches, you know, have their thing. And problem is that we're letting what we do, you know, how we do it, take precedent over who we're worshiping. And, you know, that's just wrong, y'all. I mean, the first priority in worship is make sure you know who you're worshiping. And I want to say this, like, people, I've noticed, you know, some people would like to disagree, but I, you know, something I just noticed in the church that people like to just worship the act of worship. What I mean by that is, like, we're so, you know, focused on love to sing, and, you know, people love the feeling of worship or whatever, you know, oh, I'm so overcome by the Lord. And you know what? Yeah, that can be a great thing. But if you're more like passionate about, you know, oh, feeling moved or whatever, and I'm going to put air quotes on that, moved, or, you know, loving the cool scene of a big worship set, than actually praising the name of God Almighty, there is a problem right there. Now, I don't care if, like, you know, you love it. Yeah, I don't care if, you know, you're just a piano, choir, a big band, loud music, thingamabob, whatever it is. I mean, whatever it is, you cannot worship the feeling of worship. We got to worship God himself. That's the very purpose of why we do it. I mean, I sound like very, I guess, like, just, I don't know how to put this. Like, it's just, you kind of worship God. I mean, whatever we do. And I mean, when we go out and, you know, let's say evangelize, one thing, you know, let's just say, hey, let's go out, let's worship God. And I'm not going to say, oh, we're going to go out and sing on the drill field here at Mississippi State. No, when I say, hey, let's go out and worship God, let's go share the gospel with somebody. That's worship right there too. That is worship. That is giving ourselves in service. That is worship. That's what he said in Romans 12. I'm going back to that again, but it's a huge thing. Like, let's do it, y'all. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, just, yeah.
I mean, that's it.
But, you know, Luke and I, we have a few different, like, differences on our preferences, but the important thing is that we talked about this before. We don't let any differences on our preferences manage how we worship God. And in the end, whether we're singing praises, whether we're out in the streets, whether we're out in the mission field, whether we're out, whether we're fasting, whether we're discipling, no matter what, how we do it, it's still going to be the same thing. And you know, we want to make sure we had that straight. And You know, people know me know that I love, oh my goodness, I love it when there's a piano going and a choir going, and I can just like just sing those old hymns that have stood the test of time. Just I love it so much. But you also see me on Tuesday nights when I go to the Baptist Student Union here. You know, I love singing there too. I mean, I prefer one over the other, but like I said, we can't let our preference hurt how we worship. We can't let it hurt our worship. Otherwise, are we really worshiping? Are we? As long as what we're doing is glorifying God, what the heck else matters? What else matters? That's all I got. I've went on way too long with that.
Very good. But to speak on like the emotional kind of high you can get from worship, that's really one of the main problems with the worship like mindset nowadays. Is everyone's focused on, oh, we got to get me. Daniel's trying to die over here. But we try to focus on too much of the emotional responses you can get from songs. You know, it's you got to have the right chords, and you got to have the, you know, right lights up there, and you got to have the right words to say and the trendy sayings. And I mean, there's a parody song out there called the Worship Song of Song. And it's funny, but it's true, because a lot of the worship songs just have clever sayings and they have out of context Bible verses, and they have so much that hits on emotional responses where your faith should not be just an emotional response. Your faith should be a spiritual decision where you completely turn your life over to Christ, and this is the big part, repent from your sin and you completely turn your life to Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's the big difference. And that's the problem, is everyone's like, oh, worship was so good, and they go back to doing what they did, you know, before they came to Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's not how worship's supposed to be. And we're going to hit more on that after the break, but we just wanted to start off, I guess, right before the break to get you ready for that. But
yeah,
let's go to a break.
Let's do it now.
We're back.
All right. We have returned from the break.
The break took us off guard, too. But anyways, we're going to jump back in.
Yep.
With scripture. Because yep. We are the Bible Belt Bros, and that is what we do.
And so we read the Bible.
How about that? So one thing we want to really hit on for the second half is, you know, the true meaning behind worship and the true thoughts behind worship. And mm-hmm. It's essentially focused on the kind of like the posture of your heart. And I know that term sounds kind of weird. It's like the posture of your heart. It sounds like mm-hmm. one of those like Trinity kind of sayings, you know, but it's something we need to be mindful of.
Yep.
And we can't, you know, worship without a, you know, true heartfelt mindset, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to give your time to something if your heart's not in it. Just not even thinking about worship or something spiritual. It's hard to give your all on something if your heart's not in it. And so we try to do the same thing with worship, but it doesn't work because we're so distracted with everything else. But we're going to hit on some more scripture, give a little basis by it, and then, you know, we'll see what happens after that.
Yep.
But John 4. I'm in John 9. I don't know why I turned to John 9.
Dude, come on, man.
John 4.
You got this.
I can't read.
can't count either.
Nope.
It's okay. He can count. He's much better at counting than me.
Engineering major. I need to. John 4, verses 23 through 24. They say, but an hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So that's just saying, you know, how we worship is in spirit and in truth. And when it says in the spirit, that spirit's capitalized. And so it's saying the Holy Spirit. And so we ought to worship in the mindset of, you know, Holy, as we're saved, the Holy Spirit is in us and is directing us and guiding us. And so we ought to worship with the mindset of the Holy Spirit, and focusing on that rather than focusing on, oh, these songs are so good, my emotions are just flowing through. That's not what worship's about. Nope. God didn't intend worship to be an emotional thing. I mean, sure, you can have emotions towards God and be like thankful for everything, but worship is a spiritual sort of supernatural experience.
Yep.
In a way. And I don't want to get too, like, quote unquote religious about it, but that's what worship is. It's a it's a time where you give all you are to Jesus, and it should be every part of the day, but we're imperfect. We're not going to do it every day, but we ought to strive to be like that every day. But specifically the end of verse 23, it says, yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. It clearly says that's who God wants to worship him, those who worship him in spirit and truth. I mean, this is as simple as that. If you're worshiping in any other way that's not truthful and not and only like focused on emotions or something, you're not doing it right, and God doesn't want that. Just keep all that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another thing we got is Psalm 51. I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but I'm going to pull from a few things here. This is when David, this was his spirit basically, is crying out after his sin with Bathsheba. It starts out, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 4, he says, against you only I have sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so you are justified when you speak, and blameless when you judge. And one verse that's very big here near the end is verse 16. It says, for you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And I just want to say this, like, David, he understood that even in sin, he was still going to worship God. He was still going to repent. He was going to glorify God in his repentance of sin. Because, you know, and we've talked about this before, I think. You know, when you look at a lot of people, David did a lot of terrible things. A lot of terrible things. The one thing he did that a lot of other people didn't do is he always turned back to God. He always recognized. He recognized his sin. That's why it says, against you only, I have sinned. He recognized that he had sinned. And rather than using that to say, you know, oh, I'm sinned, whatever, I'm going to keep living it. No, he turned away. And that's why he said he didn't just give a sacrifice. He said, what's the purpose of sacrifice if my heart's not in it? My heart is my sacrifice. And biblically, you know, that makes perfect sense when we go with what we've talked about from scripture before, that giving ourselves up is as sacrifice is worship. And that's exactly what David did here. He recognized his sin and he gave himself up to God in worship. And so that's another way that we can view worship there. And even in repenting of our sin, we're worshiping and glorifying the Lord.
Yeah. And then keeping with the Old Testament theme, Isaiah 29, verse 13. The Lord said, these people approach me with their speeches to honor me with lip service, yet their hearts are far from me, and human rules direct their worship of me. And this verse is actually quoted by Jesus in the New Testament, recorded both in Matthew 15 and Mark 7. I'm not going to read them again because y'all heard it the first time. But he's essentially saying that there's going to be people that come to Jesus with these elaborate sayings and, you know, elaborate songs and emotional kind of feelings, but that's not true worship. He says, and yet their hearts are far from me, and human rules direct their worship of me. We have essentially let a human understanding of worship direct how we worship a lot of times. We as humans think worship, is only songs. That's really the only time we strive to worship God at that point. But worship is more than just singing songs. It's about, like we said, a lot of heartfelt devotion to the Lord, doing your spiritual disciplines, doing, you know, the work of the kingdom, all that kind of stuff. That's what worship is. And, I mean, the verse says it plainly right there. Human rules direct their worship of me. When you let humanism determine your worship, that's not it. But yeah, that's essentially that one.
Last thing we got here is 1 Corinthians 13. And just, I'm not going to read through the whole thing again, but go through a few verses. You know, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, do not have love, it profits me nothing. So looking at all these things, we understand that we can go out and do actions that, you know, may look like they're glorifying God, but worship without love, without our heart, is worthless. And that goes right back to what we read in Psalm 51, is, you know, that David, his heart had to be in the right place, and our heart has to be in the right place whenever we go serve the Lord, whenever we go worship him there, whenever we go, we sing, we may speak prophecies, we may speak in tongues, we may go give all that we have, but if we don't love, then it's pointless, because our heart isn't in the right place. You know, whenever Samuel was choosing the next king of Israel, and he went to the sons of Jesse, first one, he's like, oh, this he must be the one. And God said to him, no, I've rejected him. And the reason why God said that is, God said right after, he's like, you look at the outward appearance, I look at the heart. He said, I look at the heart. God looks at the heart. He knows our heart. He knows where it's at. He knows if we have love or not. He knows that. In all things, God knows our heart. He knows where we're at. And whenever we worship him, he knows. God knows. And we can't run away from that fact that God knows everything about us. He knows where we're at. He knows where we're going to be. He knows what we're going to do. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. And so that's the purpose of this, is that, you know, we need to love. And the final verse here, 13:13, says, now faith, hope, and love abide these three. The greatest of these is love. Love is the greatest thing we got, y'all. So that's what I got on that.
Just keeping in mind that worship is a heartfelt action. Mm-hmm. It's not just singing songs. And sure, you may know the words to a lot of songs, and you can sing along with them in the car, at church, at wherever you are studying, whatever it is. But don't let that be your definition of worship.
Mm-hmm.
That's not it.
You know what time it is, you know the sound, people group of the week, let's do it. Today we're going to pray for the Malay people in Malaysia. Obviously they're in country Malaysia. The main people group, largest there, 13 million people. Most of them are Muslim, very few believers, but there are people there who know Christ. Very small number, but they don't believe in Christ. They don't know the gospel, so we're going to pray for them. And we'll wrap things up today. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we glorify you. We don't want to glorify you with our words, but through our actions of giving ourselves up. May you guide us to understand your word. May you guide us to be better stewards, to be better givers, to be better at loving people. Because in the end, all these attributes of love, they come from you. They come from you. Please help us to love. Help us to love the Malay people in Malaysia. Right, 13 million people, and so few know you. God, please save these people. Please use the missionaries who are there, who are reaching them to speak through them. Please use their voices as your voice. Use them as ambassadors to speak on your behalf, to plead with them to believe this gospel that you've shown us. So, and that's all I ask for, Lord. Please save the Malay people. So it's in your name I pray. Amen.
Sweet.
Recommendations.
Well, we got some recommendations. I'll go first this week, since I think I made you go first the past couple of times we've done it.
You have.
I have.
Go first.
So my recommendation for this week, as we know, this week is Holy Week, Easter week.
This is being released on
released on Good Friday, yeah. But today, essentially today, Good Friday, read through the crucifixion story. I've got a little kind of chart here that details each chapter it's in. In Matthew chapter 26 through 27 and 28, go 28 on Sunday. In Mark chapter 14 and 15, in Luke chapter 22 and 23, and in John chapter 18 and 19. So any one of those, or if you want to read all four, you know, read through this, through the crucifixion story, and just, you know, be reminded of what happened on Good Friday. And the reason we can do this, and the reason we can have a true hope in our future, our eternal future. But just keep all that in mind. Don't just think about Easter as a fun holiday where you get to eat good food and spend good time with your family and get candy. That all comes secondary to the real reason Easter happened.
Yep. Absolutely. My recommendation is also – oh, were you not done?
No, you're good.
Oh, I'm sorry. He laughed, and I was like, what? But sorry about that. My recommendation, also doing a spiritually based one, not just because it's, you know, Holy Week or, you know, about to be Good Friday. Good Friday for you if you're listening, maybe. But, you know, the Lord's had this on my heart a lot. Go on a mission trip somewhere. Go somewhere. Go to a new context.
Now.
Well, yeah, packing your things. Actually, that's what I'm gonna do right now. Just kidding. But you know, we've had a missionary. I've been able to had the opportunity to speak to a good bit this week. Helped me understand a few things in my life, and gave really good guidance from the Lord, and I'm very thankful for it. And so I'm gonna just recommend, like, you know, if you're listening to this, you don't know, go do it. Short term. If you're not certain about it, don't go do long term, because that's not a good idea. But just go somewhere, go to a new context, go serve God in a new context. He's gonna open your eyes in it, I guarantee it. He's gonna open your eyes and show you something you didn't understand before, and it's gonna be very beneficial. So that's my recommendation. Yay!
Sweet. Well, thank y'all for hanging with us.
Happy Good Friday or Easter. If you are listening on Easter, that'd be cool.
Yeah. But then it'd be late for my recommendation. But they can still read it, I guess.
They have to wait a year.
They have to wait till next year.
They have to wait a whole year to do it. Anyway. You can't read the crucifixion for another year.
Rip.
Whatever day you're listening, happy whatever day it is. There's always a holiday of some sort, even though we don't always get the day off work from it. But
yeah.
Go glorify the Lord. Go worship Him.
Awesome.
For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not so that you would be made sorrowful, but that you might know the love which I have especially for you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Bible Belt Bros. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Bible Belt Bros Pod. Ask us questions and tell us how we can be praying for you. Until next time, be blessed in the Lord.